Grassroots Show here on The Rock Station 97.7 for a Sunday night. We welcome you to the show. I'm Bob Kupp, along with, fresh from the Shady Lady Studio in Shady Lady Productions, Utah Burgess. Utah, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, Bob.
Looks like you survived hiking around Oakmont and didn't find Reb Beach, apparently, but...
No. Yeah, that was interesting that... People really take that golf seriously.
Don't they, though?
Yes, they do. It was interesting.
Yeah, good stuff. Well, we are here with some good stuff tonight and going to be visiting with a group called the Sour Wine Cult and a group of guys who got together at the Art Institute of Pittsburgh many years ago and had not done anything recently and got back together and redid some stuff that they had done years ago. With Clint Macro of Cobble Sound Studio, and that's a name you've heard here on the show before. And they'll be visiting with us tonight and play some tunes of a new CD that they have out called Posca, and we look forward to that. Of course, here on this night, this is the final, I can't believe summer's here, and this is the final Sunday in June, which means you only have a handful of days left to vote for our Grassy Award. We are coming down the wire, 12 nominees, for this year's Grassy Award that will be announced in just a couple of weeks down the road at the Band Jam Grassroots Music Festival.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if we'll be presenting the winner of the award at the Band Jam, which we've been fortunate enough to do the last 3 years. So we'll have to see. Final week, get your votes in, pick your favorite songs.
Absolutely. They are all on our website, 977rocks.com. And when you go there, if you just open that up, you'll see a menu bar. And you click on that, you'll see Grassroots, and it's going to be the first upper left corner symbol, basically. There's a number of icons in there that show you past guests, and that'll be the first one you see.
Yeah, and it was pretty neat also. You know, there's quite a lineup of songs for the Grassy this year, and kind of echo what Slim said last week, you know. He was like, I'm glad the Shiners aren't in it this year, because it'd be a hard one, you know.
Oh, absolutely. So
really good selection.
12 great tunes, and the cool part is when you go in there to vote, you can actually see the songs listed there, and right at the top, you can play them and listen to each one and kind of refresh your memory if you're not familiar. That's why we tried to do that, so that it gets a fair resemblance for each of the 12 nominees. And get in there and vote, because you can vote for two picks at a time. But we have that through June 30th, and we'll close that up at midnight June 30th.
And I know Linda is working on this year's award. It's, she always comes up with a really great, trophy or award to give to the bands, and looking forward to what it looks like this year.
Yeah, I had somebody discuss that with me over the weekend. They were asking, what's the Grassy look like this year? Because the first 2 years, we had guitars. I think the first one, what did it resemble? A Gibson. I think
a Stratocaster.
Stratocaster. Yeah. And then the second one was a Flying V, right? Am I remember that correctly? And then last year, it was a drum kit, which was, I think, was the coolest one so far because of the detail. And she has something up her sleeve, but I don't even know what it looks like. She brings it out the week of Band Jam, which is cool. And, I mean, Linda Weber does an incredible job with this. It's a masterpiece in its own right.
Yes, it is. And, I really appreciate that. And also how she's incorporated the little Band Jam stick figures in there also, which is really cool.
Yep. So, and, of course, the Band Jam coming up very, very soon. It's part of our Rock Done Right tour this year, which will have two stops in July. And here we go, folks. I mean, it's going to be a week from tomorrow. Think about this. A week from tomorrow is the 4th of July, and we've joined with Shaded 80 Productions for a very special event prior to the fireworks at the Big Butler Fair.
Yeah, really looking forward to this. Big Butler Fair is really getting behind local music also, so I really encourage you to come out and show the Big Butler Fair you're all about local and local music as well. We've got four great acts, Coal Town, Sean Hartman, Mind's Eye is going to be playing it with the original lineup, and, of course, the Needs Hotel Band. So it's going to be a great night of all kinds of music, you know, from old school country all the way up through your dance rock with the Needs Hotel Band. Kind of some of that 90s sound with Mind's Eye. And, mm-hmm. Of course, Coal Town is a rock and country band as well. So
yeah,
it's going to be a good night.
It will be a fun night. And the cool part of it is your admission for that part of the night is the admission to the Big Butler Fair. So when you come out, pay to get in. The parking's free, and then you can hang out for the day or whatever time, or if you're coming out late afternoon, the music will kick off. You can bring a lawn chair or bring a blanket for the, you know, the grandstands, whatever, and have perfect seating, prime seating for the fireworks.
Yeah, and Hoop Bear's going to be out there, so she'll be entertaining you, and she's always fun with the kids. And, of course, the Rock Station's going to be out there also, giving away a whole bunch of tickets to, like, Kennywood, Isle Wild, Soak Zone, mm-hmm. all them amusement park type things. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Good opportunity to come out and win some fun things and have a great time and hear some great, great local music. It'll be a fun evening.
And you'll be able to get your band jam tickets there also if you haven't already. So
that's right.
We'll have them on us. And if you haven't got them yet, I encourage you to get online and get them or pop on up to Sloan's Guitar Emporium as well, and he'll fix you up.
Absolutely. It's going to be 2 weeks after that. It's right around the corner, July 15th and 16th, and we've got an incredible lineup. And we'll talk more about that. As a matter of fact, next week kicks off our entire preview. We have 2 weeks of previews coming, so the next 2 weeks of our show, we're going to be very music intensive because we're going to play a song from every one of the artists who will be at this year's band jam. So stick around for that. We've got Sour Wine Cult coming up, but right now we're going to play a tune. A gentleman we've played here before, but he has a brand new CD out. His name is Chris Denham. And this is pretty cool. You may recognize Chris Denham as the guy who impersonates Neil Diamond. Maybe you've seen him at a Neil Diamond tribute. But he has a brand new CD out of his own work. And this has an incredible list of people on the album, including Donna Grooms, who's a very well-known vocalist in this area. We're going to play a tune called Crazy Hearts. It's Chris Denham.
All right, and we'll follow that up with Abigus Jones. They're one of the first bands we actually played on this show going way back. And I found them on Facebook, and it looks like they're still playing out, so we might need to reach out to them and get them on the show because I love what they do. But this is a song called Ain't the Way, following Chris Denham.
Met her on a train one August. She said, oh, by the way, I'm just leaving that. Pain in her eyes was timeless. The whiskey caused my blindness. Soon I would find what it takes to love her. It's a crazy heart. I'm gonna wear her ring, no matter what.
To love her.
flowers. Tomorrow's the day that you try. But time marches on and it won't be long. Oh my, we're looking back to the freedoms all you'll have to hang on. And though it feels alright, when honey you come to realize that it's only good this time. And you can give up the fight, know that I won't be the only one saying, girl, don't you know that ain't the way you wanna die. Girl, don't you know that ain't the way you wanna die. Girl, don't you know that ain't the way you wanna die.
The Meat Locker Recording Studio in Butler is the area's number one recording studio. When you work with the engineers at the Meat Locker, your next song, album, EP, or demo will be of the best quality anywhere. Use their great-sounding live room, vocal booth, and new 24x24 drum room. They'll mix it together with the industry-leading program Pro Tools. Plus, if you need musicians, they have the talent you need. The Meat Locker Recording Studio. With your talent, they'll make your music rock. Call 724-283-4529 or visit meatlockerrecording.com. The new BMW S1000R Roadster can be found at European Motorcycles of Pittsburgh. The S1000R's high-performance four-cylinder engine puts a smile on a rider's face at every twist of the throttle. Power is nothing without control, and the S1000R is fitted with Race ABC and automatic stability control, ensuring acceleration and deceleration figures at threshold levels. Check out the BMW S1000R at European Motorcycles of Pittsburgh, Perry Highway in Wexford, and put the competitors in the rear mirror.
Now, back to the Grassroots Show, brought to you by Shady Lady Productions on the Rock Station 97.7.
We welcome you back to our local music show here on the Rock Station 97.7, the Grassroots Show, presented by European Motorcycles of Pittsburgh, Route 19 in Wexford. And this friendly segment presented by the friendly folks at the Rainbow Inn at 323 2nd Street in Freeport, where even the listeners have been posting on social media signs of the Man Can Special. So if you thought it was a myth, it has been proven that, yes, it is the home of the Man Can Special, that 24-ouncer that you can enjoy partaking in some time with friends or watching a Pittsburgh sporting event, whatever. We're trying to find the infamous Utah in the corner.
Yeah, we could have used some man cans at the Open last week. That was brutal.
A little
miles.
Warm. A little warm. And what? No man cans until noon.
Yeah.
Fun stuff. Check them out, though, for a great time. They're open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday at 11 a.m. And they're at 323 2nd Street in Freeport, our longest-running sponsor of the show, and we appreciate their support of local music. Well, here we are. We're ready to visit with some gentlemen who are known as Sour Wine Cult, and there's some names that you may know. And if you haven't heard of these guys, well, then you haven't been around the Pittsburgh music scene, I think, for a long time, because they've been around but in hiatus, but back together and have new material, and we're going to go around the room here and welcome the lead vocalist of Sour Wine Cult, Mike Harnish. Mike, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. Good to have you here. Next to Mike is Clint Mancro. Clint, of course, owns Cobble Sound Recording Company. And we've heard Clint's name mentioned numerous times, JV and many others. But in this band, Clint is the drummer. Clint,
yes.
Good to have you on board.
Thanks for having us. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Also with us is the rhythm guitarist and lead guitarist, Chris Palmer. Chris.
Hi. How you doing?
Good. And we have Alan Gilman, who is the bass player, too. Alan, welcome.
Thank you.
Mike, give us a little background of yourself, where you're from, and what led you down a musical path?
I currently live in West Mifflin, home of Kennywood, and really grew up in a musical family. My dad always played guitar. My uncle was always in a band, Sour Mesh. They currently play a lot of local shows.
Okay.
Just being around that growing up, I was always singing in the shower, in the car, you know, in school. I decided, you know, at the age of 18 that I wanted to start playing guitar. And then, you know, that's kind of the evolution of that. So,
and on the CD we're going to be talking about in particular here, but in the band you play some guitar and also mandolin, I guess, huh?
Just one song, did the mandolin.
Okay.
It was a good experience, my first time.
Okay.
Worked out well. Okay. Yeah, play the guitar and then obviously do all the vocals.
Yeah. Formal training on the guitar, or is this something handed down by dad? You just kind of gathered it in?
Yeah. Actually, I think, you know, that's kind of what helped us develop, because I don't know what I'm doing. And that kind of led me to be a little bit more creative.
Okay.
Not having that technical background and, you know, I should be doing this, so kind of thing. But, you know, it meshed with Chris and the others, for
cool.
sure.
Cool. Clint, how about you?
Oh, well, I come from a very musical background. My family, I'm originally from Cameron County, Pennsylvania, up in the woods. And my family had a country band, my stepfather and my mom and myself. And I was 8 years old, playing drums, doing old-timey country songs and gospel songs. And, you know, we were the only band around, so that meant we played everybody's birthday, everybody's wedding, everybody's everything, because we were the only one around. And my stepfather was a recording enthusiast, so he had, I wouldn't say we had a studio at the house, but we definitely had a lot of equipment, a half-inch four-track and an old giant Carvin mixer and a bunch of mics and stuff. So I spent a lot of my childhood playing music in bars with my family and then recording crickets and toilets and drums and guitars and just about anything I could record. And when I turned 18, I came down to the Art Institute and was working as an intern in a number of different commercial studios at the time. There were a few commercial studios here. And I was also working at the Rec Room up here in Butler with Steve Graham.
Okay.
He had a studio at his house.
Yeah.
And I actually did a lot of my early work there with Steve.
Okay.
And was going to the Art Institute. That's where I met all these guys. And that's where Sour Wine Cult came from. We all met up at the Art Institute. It was actually, I think, a project for Chris initially. One of his projects that he had to record for school, and it went from there. And we played a lot in the area. I don't know if I should keep going with this, because you were just asking me, but we played a lot in the area, and then about 96, 97, we kind of separated, and I took off and went to Los Angeles. When I came back, I was working with Allen, in another band called Tastes Like Chicken, and we decided to make another Tastes Like Chicken album, which is a whole other story, maybe a whole other show.
Okay.
And we looked at each other and said, man, this is fun. We should get the guys from Sour Wine Cult back together. And so we called everyone up, and they were more than happy. They all came over to the studio. We had a bunch of beer and listened to some old demos, actually, that we recorded at the Rec Room, live to demos that we had recorded. That's really all the recording we did at the time, because we couldn't afford the studio time, really.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, let's do it. So we started the process, and it took, yeah, we got about 2 years in this record, all in all, I think, from the time when we started it until the time we actually got the CDs pressed.
Yeah.
But it's really, really good, man. I'm very proud of it. I'm proud of what we've all done together. And arrangement-wise, the songs are very much like we did them when we were young. Couple things we updated, maybe we slowed a few things down. We didn't change the key of anything. We left it all as it was.
Okay.
We modernized maybe one or two things, but it's very true to what we did back then, and I'm real proud of it. Chris has done some really excellent guitar work on it, and sonically, it's a great record. I'm very, very pleased with it.
Cool. Chris Palmer plays guitars on it. Chris. Family? What led you to pick up a guitar?
Nobody in my family plays any instruments or sings or anything that I know of. So I just, I think, kind of was a little awkward in school, didn't really belong with any kind of group.
Yeah.
Started getting into music, early 80s. Big favorite, Duran Duran kind of got me into music. So
yeah.
That's a little odd and unusual to play guitar, because when I was taking guitar lessons, I say, I want to learn this song. And so my guitar teacher's listening to it. It's like, is there any guitar even in this song? So I was like, you know.
Well, but, Andy Taylor was a hell of a
Power
guitarist.
Station came out. Power Station came out, then it really hit me. I was like, wow, there's something to do here.
Yeah.
So after that, it just took off from there, all the different influences in Power Station and the you know, funk stuff from that. I got into jazz band in high school, and it just kind of opened up and broadened my horizons as to what I could accomplish as, you know, being a player. So I took a lot of that with me. And when I went to college, I wanted to be a music teacher. It's something to fall back on.
Mm-hmm.
Not the best idea again. So, you either do plan A and just come up with plan B later, or you don't do it at all. So I ended up at the Art Institute in Pittsburgh here and met Mike. And Mike had ideas for songs and stuff. And, again, what he said, you know, not having a guitar or a formal background in playing, I think helped, because he wasn't inhibited by, oh, this is what you're supposed to do, or this is how this is supposed to sound. And there's so many ideas there, and we just kind of got together and then put them together, arranged them, I guess it would be. And we came up with, we got four songs in that first little cassette that we did. So, and it did. It ended up being a project out at the Art Institute there. And we had Alan on board. And Clint, you played on...
three of them.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we had a different drummer on the one, but Clint played on all of them. So it was like that was the beginning of Sour Wine Called at the time. So...
Very cool.
We played out a lot, and, you know, as bands do, they break up. We had a hiatus, and Clint brought us back together when he came back into town, and we started putting these songs back together, and, like he said, kind of honing our skills. And because when I was playing back in the early 90s, I didn't, you know, there's a solo, okay, whatever, you know, and I'd just do whatever that night. It sucked most of the time, and once in a while there'd be one that was really good. So this time I really sat down and said, I got to come up with something, you know, because this is forever. And so Clint really kind of pushed me on that and gave me a lot of direction and guidance in that. And the songs, I think I did some of my best playing on this, you know, again, with Clint's help. Really engineered him. And Alan, with the whole band, I mean, everybody kind of contributes. There's always a space. I mean, mm-hmm. the songwriting, I've placed for my guitar, the drums and stuff like that. But with Alan's bass playing, and he'll tell you his background stuff, I think really helped to drive a lot of the direction and how the music kind of came together. I mean, he's just underneath everything, mm-hmm. but it's not just your typical bass lines and stuff. I mean, he's really got a unique way of playing and adding bass lines to a song that really cool. makes it a lot more interesting.
Cool.
So,
well, Alan Gilman, give us a little background of yourself.
Well, I started playing drums as a kid, and I wanted to be a drummer in a rock band since, you know, I could remember. So I escaped West Virginia in 1992, and there was just nothing down there. So when I came to Pittsburgh to go to the Art Institute of Pittsburgh, that's when I met Clint. And when you when you're a drummer and you have an apartment, you can't really play drums anymore. So I just kind of defaulted to bass guitar, and kind of the same way with Mike, you know, not having any training or anything, it was all just learning on the fly, and it gave me a lot of, you know, room for creativity. And when me and Clint met each other, we just had a really good rapport, and we just were really able to be creative with each other, and that's when we started that Taste Like Chicken project. And then we met the other guys in college and just really hit it off well. So we've been playing ever since, you know.
That's neat. And obviously the name is a takeoff of people you've known in the past. I mean, you know, mentors, parents. Yeah, pretty cool. I love the Taste Like Chicken. We got to find a little more about it. That'll be a whole other show. We got to definitely, we got to definitely set that up.
Yeah, that's another show. and we have four songs in the record you could broadcast. Yes.
Okay.
Some of the other ones maybe not.
No. Yeah.
But it's interesting you brought up the name Sour Wine Called. I think Mike should tell where that name came from.
Okay.
It's a pretty interesting story.
Mike.
Right. So it is an interesting story, but you know, there is a strong reference to the Bible with sour wine, so we don't necessarily need to get into that. But actually, on the way to the Art Institute, I lived in Leechburg, PA, which is somewhat near here. We would go down towards Freeport because I had a friend who lived on the way there. So we'd carpool and go down. Well, coming down that hill, there was a guy. His name was Bob Sourwine. A lot of stories about this guy, but he was one of these. He had like a junkyard in this front yard, a lot of old cars and stuff. So he would, he worked at the local steel mill. And
he still does.
He still does.
Yes, he does.
Actually, I think one of his relatives friend requested me on Facebook, which was kind of weird. But people would kind of mess with him because he was kind of an oddball or whatever. he would like hang Santa Claus from his tree at Christmas time, you know, all kind of weird stuff. My dad told me, because he worked at the mill as well, they talked to him about his dress, like wearing ripped clothes and smelling and stuff. So he wore a tux for a month straight to work at the steel mill.
Unique.
So I've heard that story.
Yeah.
I've heard that story. Yeah.
Wow. So when you're coming down the hill, he lives like right on the main drag there. Mm-hmm. So I guess people were messing with his property, and he had on his fence spray painted, "Please join the sour wine cult."
Uh-huh.
So we had a long, long session about what to name the band. And it was probably, I can remember several times laughing hysterically. Just, we all got along in that regard. We would be silly and, you know.
We don't do that anymore.
Yeah, right. And it was good. But anyway, we determined that Sour Wine Cult was the way we would go.
And thus we have it here tonight.
Yes.
Well, let's play a little Sour Wine Cult. We're going to dig out the first song, actually the first song on your disc here. It's called Down So Long. Let's give that a spin, and we'll talk about a couple of the songs. We'll spin another one after that as well. Sour Wine Cult, the guys are with us, and you're hearing them here tonight on the Grassroots Show on The Rock Station 97.7 and streaming at 977rocks.com.
Thank you.
lunch, dinner, drinks, and fun. The Rainbow Inn, located at 323 2nd Street in Freeport, is the place to stop for refreshingly good times and drink specials during all televised Pittsburgh sporting events. Open Monday through Saturday at 11 a.m., the Rainbow features monthly karaoke and an acoustic open stage, and is home of the 24-ounce Man Can Special. Call 724-295-0130 today, and don't miss out on all the fun at the Rainbow in Freeport. European Motorcycles of Pittsburgh presents the BMW R1200R, a bike that marks the status quo in terms of aesthetic appeal, dynamic performance, and design. It has a look that perfectly matches the way it rides. The R1200R is a powerful machine that features a design that is compact, tight, and muscular, with 125 horsepower that provides plenty of power. Hit the road today with the BMW R1200R at European Motorcycles of Pittsburgh, Perry Highway in Wexford. Visit their website at bmwpgh.com.
The Grassroots Show, Sunday nights at 7, brought to you by Shady Lady Productions on the Rock Station, 97.7.
We're back on the Grassroots Show with Mike, Clint, Chris, and Alan, Sour Wine Cult. Here tonight on the Grassroots Show on the Rock Station 97.7. We just heard Down So Long and Love Kills the Sane. Somebody's got to tell me about each song. Give us a little background, Mike.
So Down So Long, it was, I had a lot of lyrics and guitar parts written for these songs. Mm-hmm. And Chris and I think, showed it to Clint and Alan at their apartment, or at someone's apartment. Yeah, we wrote it, and we added the heavy guitar parts and stuff like that, and I thought it came together, you know, really well.
That was one of the later ones that we wrote, though, right? The first four were
it was
a little cassette, but that one was later.
Yeah, it was one of the later ones we wrote, but I think we, you know, showed it to them, and everybody kind of liked it right away.
And again, for the listener, if you missed the beginning of this, these are all tunes that have been around, but you've just kind of reshaped and reformed them.
Yeah, actually, we wrote these originally back in the early 90s. And Down So Long, we actually we had a rehearsal space in Homestead. And we were sharing it with a few other bands, and just had some junk recording gear in there that we would just use to record practices. And that one we recorded on a 4-track. And actually, it was a pretty decent recording for the time.
Yeah, it sounded really good.
So this version that's on the album is pretty much exactly the same as what we had kind of come up with back in the early 90s in that dingy old rehearsal space in Homestead.
Cool stuff. Yeah. How about Love Kills the Sane? Mike, you did the primary lyric writing on this.
That's
right?
Correct. Okay. That's correct. Yeah. I think Chris and the guys actually wrote the guitar parts and stuff for that song. And it was a surprise to me because I didn't know how it would go. I had the lyrics written. And I came in to the studio, I think it was on a Saturday, and heard it for the first time, and I was like, yeah, this is something we can work with.
I we were messing around with parts and stuff, and I think actually Alan might have come up with part of it. I mean, it was just that first run on that, and we showed that to you, and you started coming up with lyrics and stuff for it. But yeah, it was one of the first songs we introduced. Here's, you know, some music first. And then Mike went ahead and wrote lyrics.
Yeah, that one was, you guys pretty much started writing those at the studio at AIP, pretty much like laying a track down and then doing something to it and laying another track down. So a lot of the songs were formulated in the recording process. Some of the, I guess, the middle songs, if we had three phases of songwriting, the first ones were kind of built in the studio there, and then the middle songs and the other ones were kind of done on the 4-track at the rehearsal space. But we've always used recording technology to write and formulate the songs. You know, we'd record it, and then we'd take that track out and try another one, and that's kind of how we would orchestrate the tunes. And Mike has always been the wordsmith. We just all stayed away from the lyrics, and Mike did his own lyrics, and we'd always debate what's he mean when he says what he says in that lyric, and we try to decipher them. His style of guitar playing, Mike's rhythm guitars, was, I can say, as the drummer in the band, the way he plays, and you can hear that especially on some of the other songs that we're going to play later on today, he plays very rhythmically, kind of what I would normally play on with my right hand on the hi-hat. I'm right-handed, so that would be with the hi-hat. And so because he would be keeping that steady rhythm on the acoustic, I can kind of play around that or play off it with the hi-hat. So a lot of the, I really like some of the drum beats. They're actually kind of funky, like James Brownish, you know, like Clyde Stubblefield, or maybe the Meters, something like that. But in this context, it's just totally different. And so that's due to the way he plays guitar, plays the rhythms.
The name of the album is not a song on the album. Where did that come from?
Oh, see, that's an interesting story there, actually.
Yeah, interesting, okay.
Because a lot of times people will just throw one of the singles or whatever it is. But
yeah. Well, you know, I've been a bit of an overbearing person when we made this particular record and enforced my will at certain times. And the name of the band, of course, is Sour Wine Cult, and there is some biblical reference there. Actually, it was not meant to be, but it ended up that there is some biblical reference. And we had talked about a particular scripture in Matthew that we were going to maybe name the album, and we went to and fro with that because we all are somewhat religious, but we're not a Christian band like that, and we didn't want to necessarily market the band as such. But there is a reference to sour wine in the book of Matthew, and so we didn't know if we'd go with that, embrace it, or stay away from it. And I started doing some research, and actually sour wine at the time was called Posca, and Posca was like the crap, like the Boone's Farm of the time.
Your Mad Dog 2020.
Yeah, your Mad Dog 2020, exactly. The soldiers would drink that, and there's one translation of the Bible where they called it Posca instead of sour wine. And so I thought, hey, that's cool. Maybe we could put a couple layers to the name here. And then we went back and forth on the cover artwork. That was truly a compromise. And the cover turned out real well. I think it looks like a good classic rock album.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, it's who did the design for that? Was that a collaboration of you guys?
The picture is Clint's of the hallway, which is actually a beautiful picture. And then I think the back has, what is that?
That was a or something, or? That was a mission in California, Mission San Antonio.
Okay. I mean, pictures are beautiful, and he was presenting different ideas, and Mike and I had some different ideas. One being, namely, the little virus hairy ball thing in the middle. And originally, it was just supposed to be a white cover with that little hairy ball thing on it, and that was it. Name, you know, Sour Wine Cult, and we were done.
This is the cosmic hairball.
Right, cosmic and then hairball. After that, you know, then Clint said, well, what about this hallway, or we need a cup for the Posca, and just one. And I thought, you know what, I'm done. I'm putting everything in there.
It was truly a compromise, but it's got elements of so many rock albums. Someone looked at it the other night, and they thought it kind of reminded them of a Def Leppard album with, like, Adrenalize or something, with all the stuff in the top. So it's one of those things. When we do our next album, we're going to have to reference the cosmic hairball somewhere on the artwork in the next, like a Rush album, where we just keep
carrying it forward.
Yeah.
Well, I can definitely tell you the hallway is definitely not the entrance to the Electric Banana where you guys used to frequent. So
yeah,
it's a lot brighter than that. So. Neat stuff. I mean, you guys got a really cool story, being friends from years ago and classmates, and becoming bandmates, and then putting it back together and having all four of you back together. And I mean, obviously, you know, Clint being the driving force in the studio, I mean, you had to be more than just the drummer for the effort to put this all together. So
I put some time in on the project, that's for sure.
Lots of time, and we couldn't have done this without him.
I've been pre-producing this album for 20 years. frankly, the one song Sugar, which is a little too long, so we're not going to play it today, but in my opinion, that is one of the greatest songs that I've ever had anything to do with. And we never got to record it properly when we were kids. Mm-hmm. And throughout my professional career, there were times I actually considered maybe having some other bands record it, because I think it's really, you know, people say, you know, this song is so good it could cure cancer. Well, yeah, I don't know if Sugar could cure cancer, but it's a damn good song. I never got to record it right. And when we got together, that was the first one that we worked on, and it was pretty magical. And the vocals are quite chilling, the guitar work is great, and that was really, for me, I decided, yeah, let's go ahead and do all of them. Because at first we were just going to do just the one song, or at least that was my intent, just to see kind of how it would go. Because we hadn't been together or worked together for 20 years, and some of the guys hadn't played a lot in a long time, and it was just really a wonderful thing. It was meant to be. We were all in different stages in our life, and we all had different things going on, and I think it was actually very therapeutic for all of us to get back together.
Cool.
I know personally when I'm working with other bands and other projects as a producer or an engineer, I always need to have my own project that I'm working on just to kind of keep myself sane.
Sure.
And this was that project that gave me sanity for the last couple of years, for sure.
Well, hey, if you're going to be a good producer, you know, and an engineer at that, right, for anybody's band, I mean, you have to envelop yourself into that. And I'm sure, you know, we're going to have you in later this year. We'll have to talk more about that angle. But you have to consume yourself if you're going to understand what the band's trying to get after.
Yeah, one of the other personal aspects of it is my wife, Jen, she was always the band mom in this band. She was always with us then, and you know, taking money at the door and selling cassettes and stuff like that. And it was just a nice thing for her too to experience having the guys come back together, and we were all there. And at the studio's at my home, so when I've got drums and things blasting downstairs, you cups move upstairs, you know, that kind of thing. And she really enjoyed being in the house, hearing us play the songs and listening
Neat
to it
connection.
Again. So it was very good.
That's
it was
awesome.
A good thing.
Well, we'll have to play Sugar on a show down the road, so for sure. It again is Sour Wine Cult. Posca is the name of the album. And where can they find it? Do you have a gig? Can people come see you? I mean, you're going to reopen the Electric Banana?
Oh, yeah. I think it's a restaurant now or something. They can go to our website, sourwinecult.com.
Okay.
They can find us on Facebook and Reverb Nation. If you just Google Sour Wine Cult, it'll take you. The first sites that come up are ours. So any one of those will take you where you can hear some of the music, and you can find the album on iTunes and on Amazon.com.
Fantastic. And do you have something coming up later this year? You guys are going to
do a
performance?
We're playing a benefit show with Needs Hotel Band and a whole bunch of other bands at the Syria at the Shrine.
Okay.
This on September 25th.
That's an
Sunday.
Annual event. Yeah.
Yeah, so we're on that bill, which
okay.
I'm pretty excited about. That's
cool.
A pretty cool show. It's
yeah.
an awesome venue.
Yeah.
And it'll be the first time we've played as a band in a very, very long time.
But awesome.
We've been practicing. We've been woodshedding, getting back in shape. You know, it's one thing to get in and play a song, but then to have to get up and play an entire set, you know,
yeah.
my back hurts and my knees hurt. Actually, the last time we practiced, I was reasonably crippled for a few days. It's a good thing that my brother-in-law is a chiropractor, Doug Keim, in Monroeville, and so I get to go in there and not have to pay the copay, which is kind of cool. So.
Nice, nice. Well, we've got Rain and Ever that we're going to continue down the trek of the album. Give us some insight into those songs, Mike.
Ever was probably the second song Chris and I put together. Sugar was the very first one. And that's probably one of the heavier songs that we have. Great guitar work. The solo's pretty good. Rain is it's a little bit classic rock. It's a little bit power ballad.
It's a little bit country.
it's really
Thank you,
it's
Donna.
Personally it's my favorite song. I think the vocals are great. You know, the instruments are great. It's a very, you know, powerful song.
Yeah, Rain is one of those songs that every 43-year-old woman is just going to love.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It really is.
Listen carefully, ladies. Mike Harnish, Chris Palmer, Alan Gilman, Clint Macro. Guys, thanks for coming in today. Neat story, and we wish you the best of luck. Whatever does happen, if it's 20 years later or, you know, next month, next year. And have fun with that September gig. That's cool. Check them out again, sourwinecult.com. Have a little Posca for the evening meal. So. Guys, thanks a lot. We've got Rain and Ever here on the Grassroots Show. Sour Wine Cult tonight on The Rock Station 97.7.
Now is it any wonder why we can't stop? so damned afraid. Don't you look away, my friend. Don't run away. Is it any wonder why we can't stop the rain from coming down? In a way, don't you turn around. Don't walk away, away. Starting to rise when it's getting cold by your side. Now, is it any wonder why we can't stop the rain from coming down?
You've known it as Rock Ann Haven, where everybody knows your name. You can have your own favorite bar stool. You meet your friends and shoot a game of pool while enjoying the best fish in town on Fridays. And the wings? Oh, man, are they the greatest. When you're looking for a great place to eat, Rock Ann Haven at 141 Greenwood Drive is the great place to land. The Rocks. Rock Ann Haven, a great little tavern with a great big menu. The Rocks. Rock Ann Haven. It rocks. The new BMW S1000R Roadster can be found at European Motorcycles of Pittsburgh. The S1000R's high-performance four-cylinder engine puts a smile on a rider's face at every twist of the throttle. Power is nothing without control, and the S1000R is fitted with Race ABC and automatic stability control, ensuring acceleration and deceleration figures at threshold levels. Check out the BMW S1000R at European Motorcycles of Pittsburgh, Perry Highway in Wexford, and put the competitors in the rear mirror.
Time now for the Grassroots Concert Calendar on the Rock Station 97.7.
Hey, we're putting out a last call for any open mic, open stage nights. Let us know what you've got, and we'll get you on the list as we continue through the summer and fall. And let people know about your open mic, open stage nights. You can email us at grassroots@bcrnetwork.com or hit us up on our Facebook page, The Grassroots Show on the Rock Station 97.7. Please let us know, especially if you're hosting one. We'd like to include you on our list as we gear up for the rest of the year, rocking with some grassroots and local music. On the Shady Lady Concert Calendar, don't forget, it's the Rock Done Right Tour Stop number 3 on Monday, July 4th at the Big Butler Fair. The Needs Hotel Band, the original lineup of Mind's Eye, Sean Hartman and Cold Town will kick off prior to the fireworks in front of the grandstand. The action gets underway at around 5 o'clock, and the price of admission is the price to get into the fair. So why not come out and enjoy the day at the fair, hop in front of the grandstand and have prime seating for the fireworks, and hear some great local music. Come on out and support the cause. It's Rock Done Right, presented by The Rock Station 97.7, Shady Lady Productions, and special thanks to Citizens Bank and Randy and Bob's Car Star, hopping on board and helping out the cause. And it's all geared up to get you ready for the Band Jam Grassroots Music Festival at Cooper's Lake Campground, July 15th and 16th. Yep, it's coming quick. So get your tickets. You'll save a few dollars if you buy your tickets pre-sale, and you always get some nice amenities, too. You can help out some of the bands. Many of the bands are running promotions. They have tickets to get rid of, so you can help out your own cause. And, of course, we have tickets available for you at the website, thebandjam.com. You can get them at Sloan's Guitar Emporium in Sutter Township, Route 8 North at Mercer Road. Also from Utah and Shady Lady Productions. And at our studios at the Butler Media Group, 252 Pillow Street in Butler. Lots of opportunity for you to check out great live local original music. It is the best bang for your entertainment dollar.
Dan Parr, owner of P&W Construction of Prospect, was a member of state championship football teams at Slippery Rock University. Dan knows what it takes to be the best, and that's exactly what you'll find in P&W Construction, Western Pennsylvania's leader in custom post-frame buildings, celebrating 37 years building garages, horse barns, utility and commercial buildings. The dedication Dan showed on the football field has carried over to his building ethics. No shortcuts to perfection, just plain hard work. Call P&W Construction at 865-9590.
Now, back to the Grassroots Show, brought to you by Shady Lady Productions on The Rock Station, 97.7.
Welcome back to our Grassroots Show, The Rock Station, 97.7, presented by European Motorcycles of Pittsburgh. And thanks to all of our sponsors here tonight, who include the Meat Locker Recording Studios here in Butler. And we're going to get Jim Harpell in here down the road to discuss tunes that have been played or recorded at his location. In fact, we're going to do a couple of shows later this year of local recording studios and songs that have been recorded there, and in many cases, a large part of those played here.
Yeah, not only on the Grassroots Show, but in regular rotation on the Rock Station as well. So, yeah, I think that's going to be a fun show, actually, both of them.
Absolutely. Of course, the Rainbow Inn down in Freeport, and this segment sponsor, P&W Construction, and the guys from Barnstorm Lightning, Mopar. Thanks for being a part of the show here tonight. Great to visit with the guys from Sour Wine Colton, speaking of Clint Macro from Cobble Sound Recording Studios down in New Kent. Great to visit with those guys. They've got some fun-sounding stuff, and that's a neat story, you know, of something that's been on the shelf, and they dusted it off and brought it back together.
Yeah, yeah, great stuff, and we might have to get that other project of theirs on the air also down the road. So.
Some good stuff. Hey, don't forget, you just heard the plea, our final plea, as a matter of fact. If you know somebody or you yourself run a open mic night, please send us your information. Email it over to grassroots@bcrnetwork.com or give us a message on our Facebook page, Grassroots on The Rock Station 97.7. We'll compile that list and get running with it again, the open mic, open stage nights, as we update our calendar. I think for the first time in about 3 or 4 years that we've done an extensive overhaul so that we're up to date.
Yeah. Some of them kind of fell by the wayside, and so it was time to clear out the queue there and re-queue things up. So, yeah. Hopefully next week we'll be back with the open mic listings. So.
And if you missed it earlier tonight, a week from tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, it will be the 4th of July. We expect to see you out for the next stop on the Rock Done Right Tour at the Big Butler Fair and the fireworks. Four acts will be playing in front of the grandstand right before the fireworks go off. So be sure to head out to the fair and enjoy that.
Yeah, come out and support local music. Let's show the fair that local's where it's at.
Yes, they are really giving an opportunity for the local musicians to step in here this year and make an impact at the Big Butler Fair. So it's on you, the listeners out there. If you're a fan of anybody local, get out there and support that because that's just going to enhance that in years to come. And that's what you need to do. And, of course, 2 weeks later then, it's the Band Jam Grassroots Music Festival at Cooper's Lake Campground. And what a fantastic weekend that will be. It's the third weekend this year. And just keep that in mind, because traditionally we've had it the second weekend. But because of so many events starting to pile up on those particular first 2 weekends of July, we decided to push it back to the third weekend this year and kind of open it up. And so far, so good with regard to ticket sales and weekend passes and reservations at Cooper's Lake Campground. So if you want to get your spot, and again, you'll save a little bit of money by purchasing pre-sale. So get your friends together and plan to come out.
Yeah, you can get the tickets from the bands that are playing on the bill. Get them from me, get them here at the Rock Station, or get up to Sloan's Guitar Emporium and get them there. So I recommend you get them in advance, because they're moving pretty good this year.
Yeah.
Really, really looking forward to this.
Well, and a salute out to the bands that are participating this year. They've been very creative in marketing their tickets with various opportunities, a CD, shirt, whatever. So, you know, and to boot, if you do get pre-sale, you get something from Shady Lady, too.
Yeah. If you buy online, you'll get a free koozie at the gate again this year. Those were very popular last year. We'll do it again this year.
That's right. So, and when you get yours, just come on up, and I'll be sitting around the cooler, and we'll toast the Band Jam and the great musicians. Can't wait. In fact, we're so excited. The next 2 weeks, we're going to preview each and every one of the artists that are there. And the cool part is, talking about our Grassy Award earlier, seven of our acts this year are going to are already Grassy nominees. Seven of the 12 Grassy nominees are going to be playing the band jam.
So we'll know in a few days if we'll be presenting that or not, but you'll have to be at the band jam to see if the band is performing that day that wins it. So.
That's right. And that's pretty cool because, I mean, we started this list, you know, in the dead of winter of creating the band jam itself, and then the Grassy comes later, the nominees come, and it really didn't have any connection with the band jam. It just played out that way, and now you're voting for it. You, the listeners out there, you determine who wins. So wouldn't that be something if we're four for four on that? So
yeah. That would be cool.
That's cool. All right, let's wrap up the show tonight with a couple more songs. And you speak, we listen. And this is proof in the pudding on that. We always tell you, make some noise. Make some noise for your people. Make some noise if you like a song, you know, so that it gets played more. And a lot of times, requested songs get played in regular rotation. And we're going to play a little Donny Yozo again because this thing has really been burning down my email. But we're going to play the song Burn It Down from Donny Yozo that we premiered a couple of weeks ago.
Okay, and we'll also feature another song from Seemingly Sane. We've featured some of his music in the past. His name is Jacob Caparelli. He's a young singer-songwriter from the Pittsburgh area, and he came up with this album and these songs during a period of chronic insomnia. So
I remember that.
Yeah. So I say we throw another one of his songs on called My Own Worst Enemy.
It's the Grassroots Show here tonight. We thank you for listening. We thank you for supporting local music. If you haven't yet, you're missing the beat. You need to join us here on the Grassroots Show, Sunday nights at 7 at 97.7 FM and online, 977rocks.com.
It's a long way down to the bottom of the ocean. So they say, don't ask me why. Don't ask me why. 'Cause
I don't know.
Bye.